And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament and the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42. I am going to read the first four verses of Isaiah chapter 42 as a background for our thinking today on this Sunday, the Lord's Day, that brings us together for a time of worship. We shall look at these verses after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that we are indeed marching toward that eternal city wherein dwelleth righteousness and peace and joy forevermore. We would ask that if there be those who have not that testimony, that they might come today and trust the Savior. For those who need to make decisions of church membership, may they tarry no longer, but come today and identify themselves with this church to serve Thee. And we would ask that a holy hush might be upon us in these moments of worship. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. I want you to pay particular attention to the first four words of verse 4, and the fourth word in particular, he shall not fail. Failure is a word that is unknown in the vocabulary of God. The divine economy of God with man speaks only of success. In all of his acts of mercy and judgment, God has experienced an overwhelming success. My text today is divinely inspired proof that the Lord shall continue to succeed. Hear again those four words of verse 4. He shall not fail. I want to point up two or three areas for your consideration in this time of worship that God has not and shall not fail. First off, I would move quickly to remind you that God did not fail the children of Israel in their wilderness journey when they came up out of Egypt. After 400 years of slavery and bondage, God did not fail to provide them a leader in the person of Moses. Once they were in the wilderness, they encountered an enemy, Amalek, the type of our enemy, the flesh. But in the time of their war, they did not fail. Or standing on the banks of the Red Sea, God said to Moses and to the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, And when the armies of the Egyptians came behind them, and the mountain ranges on either side, and the Red Sea ahead of them, the Lord spoke, and God said, Behold, I am a man of war, and I shall fight your battle for you. And beloved, that has been the experience of every born-again believer who has claimed the victory that Christ has already gained. He has fought our battles for us. He has won the victory over our enemy, the devil. His heel has already bruised the head of Satan. And Satan doesn't know it today, but he's already defeated enemy. He continues his rampage against the people of God. He continues in open rebellion against the God of the universe. But the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to destroy the works of Satan. In the time then of their war, he fought their battles for them. In the time of their hunger, he provided food. In the time of their thirst, he provided the rock that brought forth the water. And Paul said that rock was Christ. No wonder then Christ stood on the great feast day in John 7 and said, I am the water of life. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He did not fail them in the hour of their thirst. And when they were aloof in the wilderness, not knowing which way to turn, he did not fail to guide them along the way. I read that he put out there in the sky a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And whenever the pillar stopped, the people of Israel stopped. And when the pillar was moved, God's army Israel marched behind it. My friend, I must pause here long enough to say to you that God has a cloud for us to follow this morning. Here it is, beloved, His written word. And here He is, beloved, His Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Your pathway of duty may lead you over the rocky road. Your pathway of duty may lead you in the valley. Your pathway of duty may lead you across the oceans. But rest assured, my beloved friend, that there shall be for you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when they entered the land of Canaan, God drove out all of their enemies. He didn't fail in getting rid of the enemies that would have hindered His chosen people. God did not fail Israel. In the second place, He did not fail the Apostle Paul in his missionary journey. Paul encountered many perils along the way. I would not have time to even name them. But Paul writes about his catalog of calamities. He says, thrice I was beaten, I was shipwrecked, I was in prison, I was in distress, I was in peril, I was in persecution. But God brought him out of all of it. I think in particular of the time he was sailing upon the Mediterranean waters. And you know it's right where they're having trouble today. The Jews and the Arabs are fighting in that area, and now the Turks and the Greeks are fighting over the island of Cyprus. This is the very place, and these are the very waters that the Apostle Paul sailed through when he was on his way to Rome to make his defense before Caesar. God is no little God, beloved. God has the world in His hand this morning. And He has you in His hand this morning. And He has your family in His hand this morning. And he has your future in his hands. And beloved, the future of the Christian writings of the New Testament, the future of the testimony of the Apostle Paul was in God's hand on that day that they sailed the Mediterranean and the winds and the waters came high. And you'll read it in Acts 27, and Paul said, "For many days we didn't see the sun nor the stars. It was dark. It was seemingly hopeless. They threw everything they could overboard to lighten the load of the ship. And after many days..." And you know, sometimes God lets us go into these valleys many days to appreciate the sun when it does shine. God allows the persecutions and the perils of life that we might grasp him a little bit closer and a little bit tighter, that we may embrace his promises with more meaning, beloved, when we have gone through the valley of sickness and sorrow and trial and persecution and shipwreck. But then one night, Paul said, "The angel of the Lord stood by me." Oh, my friend, this morning, out there on the sea of life, it seems that the ship of your life may go down in the treacherous waters. Hear me when I say it, the angel of the Lord shall stand by you. Paul said, "I am his and I serve him." And he said to the mates on the ship and to all the passengers, "Fear not, for the angel of the Lord stood by me last night and said to me, Paul, you must go to Rome. You must stand before Caesar, and there shall not one life be lost. You'll make it to Rome." It wasn't an easy journey, but Paul made it. Paul said, "I believe God." Beloved, if you'll put that by everything that comes in your life, you'll come out on the winning side. Paul did. God did not fail him in his missionary journey. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul got very despondent. He was very much depressed and discouraged to the point of death and despairing of life. But then Paul said, "I remembered that we trust not ourselves, but we trust God. He shall not fail you on your missionary journey. I say again, he shall not fail you on your pilgrim journey through this life. Along the pathway of your life, you will encounter many circumstances. But remember this. Isaiah 42:4 says, he shall not fail." Notice with me that he shall not fail you in the hour of your spiritual depression. You know, you can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. Nobody does. You get in the valley of despondency. You become spiritually depressed. You're not by yourself. What about Elijah? He'd been on the mountaintop. He had prayed to God in 1 Kings 18, and God sent down fire and consumed the altar and the sacrifice. He sent his servant out to see about the rain. There had been a drought for 3 years. And all of a sudden there came up a cloud and the rains did pour. He had put to death 450 prophets of Baal. He was on the mountaintop. But you know, just in a few days he was down in the valley. When Ahab reported to his queen Jezebel what Elijah had done in 1 Kings 19, you know what she said? "By tomorrow this time, I'll have his life." And what did he do? He ran, just like you and I run in the hour of peril, the hour of persecution, the hour of heartaches and problems. But beloved, run as he may and run as far as he desires, he cannot, hear me now, he cannot run outside the circle of God's love. You can't get outside the circle of God's love this morning. Look at him. There he is under the juniper tree. And he's whimpering and complaining and he is discouraged and spiritually depressed. And he says, oh God, why don't you just go ahead and kill me? Jezebel's already said she was going to do so. And I'd much rather you do it than she. Let me die. And he went to sleep. And the angel of the Lord came and nudged him and said, Elijah, get up and eat. And he got up and ate angel food. Angel food cake. That's what the Bible says. The angel set a cake before him. If that is an angel food cake, I don't know what it is. And he ate. Then he went back to sleep, just like a lot of Baptists. And the angel nudged him again and said, Elijah, get up and eat. For you are going to require much strength on the journey I'm going to send you. And so he got up and ate the meat. Angel food meat. Now, that the angel of the Lord provided him. And he went for 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of that one meal. But then he got discouraged again. This time he went into a cave. And there in the cave, he said, God, I'm the only one left. Do you ever feel like that? I'm the only one on my block. I'm the only one in the community. I'm the only one in the church. I'm the only one left. Just let me go ahead and die. And a still small voice came and said, Elijah. And Elijah was awake. And he said, Elijah, I want you to go to a certain place and do a certain thing. And you'll find that you're not alone. For I have 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. My friend, when you're out there all alone in your life, depressed, despondent, discouraged, remember this, that God's got some more people somewhere that haven't given in and haven't given up and haven't stopped and haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And when Elijah obeyed the Lord, he renewed his strength. And the precious promise is this, but they that wait upon the Lord. Who are you waiting on this morning? You're waiting on Washington? You're wasting your time. You're waiting on Austin? You're wasting your time. You're waiting on the city fathers? You're wasting your time. Don't misunderstand me. I have a lot of respect for all of these offices, but I don't have a whole lot of respect for some of the officers. But our help and our strength is not coming from these places. Isaiah the prophet said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. God will not fail you in the hour of your spiritual depression. He will not fail you in the hour of physical suffering. Oh, we don't understand. Say, maybe you didn't have much to be thankful for on Thanksgiving Day. Well, I wish you'd go take a walk through one of our hospitals. One of the crippled children's homes. Down on the back side of the track where people are living in hamlets and huts that don't have windows and screens. And then you'd have something to be thankful for. I don't know why suffering comes, except that it is appointed to us. And God permits it in His will to come. I'm not going to say, because I do not believe the Bible would support that He designs every illness as a direct appointment of His will. But in His permissive will, He permits and allows sickness to come. Paul said he was sick, and we don't know what it was, but he said Satan put a buffet on him, a thorn in his side. Suffering comes, beloved. But in our sufferings, we can be identified with Jesus, for he suffered for us. He shall not fail you in the hour of suffering. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. He shall not fail you in the hour of your physical suffering. Not only that, but he shall not fail you in the hour of your trying experience. Trying experiences. Long days and dark nights. But you know, mankind is subject to these things. We are all heir to these disappointments, problems, heartaches, crises, moments, reverses. These are ours by nature. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow put it like this in his poem entitled The Rainy Day. Listen to these words. The day is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but at every gust the dead leaves fall, and the day is dark and dreary. My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the moldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast, and the days are dark and dreary. Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. And so it is, beloved. Into every life, into every home, rain comes. Look at that father who has but one son and he's afflicted. And he sees his neighbor out playing in the yard with his son and wonders, why can't I play with mine? Look at that young girl whose beauty has been marred by some disease. And she may draw the shades of her room and wonder as she looks in the mirror, why did I have to be marred like this? What about that young woman with four or five children, and suddenly her husband and the father of that home is taken out by death, and she's left to bring up the children alone? Into every life some rain must fall. What about the young couple that goes out to the grave, and there they bury their only son? They must remember that God had but one son, and he died on a cross for all mankind. What is the answer? What can these people do? They can do one of two things. They can park and take a seat by that sorrow and go through life with grief and mourning and sorrow. Or they can thank God that in every hour his grace is sufficient. Pick up the ends and start all over again. This is the grace of God. And I would say to you that it is not what happens to us, but what happens in us that really counts. No amount of water will sink a ship until it gets on the inside. And so we can say with Thomas A. Kempis, as thou wilt, when thou wilt, whatever thou wilt, thy will be done. I say again, we cannot choose the things that are going to happen to us in life, but we can certainly choose the spirit in which we meet those things. For I say, and I must repeat, it is not what happens to us, but what happens in us that really makes the difference. Now, in all of the things that come your way, all things, there are three ways that you can handle. First, you can resent them. Afflictions, sorrows, tragedies, you can resent them. Secondly, you can resign yourself to them. And in the third place, you can go God's way. You can rejoice evermore. What do you mean about resentment, about resignation, about rejoicing, preacher? Here it is. You can resent those things that happen to you, afflictions, tragedies, sorrows. And you can be like the man that I talked to in the hospital not long ago. He was a young man. I noticed that one leg had been amputated. And I went over to talk to him. Don't talk to me about God. I can't serve a God that'd take my leg off. My home is gone, my family's gone, and the doctors say I must lose my other leg. He parked by that affliction and let bitterness and resentment build up in his heart. And I got news for him this morning. He'll never get well as long as that resentment is in his soul. He'll be in the hospital the next time somebody goes. Because resentment in your heart will impede your physical recovery. Well, if resentment is not the way, what about resignation? Well, when these afflictions and problems and troubles come, if you make no effort to change your situation, you can just sit down and whimper and cry and whine all your life. But I don't believe that's what God wants you to do. I believe that resignation is not the right way. I believe resentment is not the right way. I believe the right way is rejoicing. Listen to God's prescription in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, verse 17, and verse 18. Don't resent, don't resign, but rejoice. Listen. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Did you get that? In everything, give thanks. He didn't say for everything. You can't thank God for an amputated leg, for a spinal meningitis disease for your child, for heart seizure. You may not be able to thank God for them, but you can thank God in them, in everything. Thank God, listen to this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, which is it for you? Resentment, resignation, or God's way, rejoicing? How does this come? It comes by surrender. Too many of us show God our afflictions and our problems, but we never surrender them. The moment we surrender our problems to God and our afflictions and our tragedies and sorrows, He goes to work with us on those problems and heartaches and sorrows. Then we don't have to go alone. We just have to keep turning the dial until it clicks with God's will. You may not change the situation, but you'll change yourself. And if you change yourself, the situation will take care of itself. Sound like an optimist? Well, I believe God wants to be optimistic. Rejoice evermore. In everything, give thanks. God will never fail you. He will make a way. Some of you even now are asking how, when, what, where, why does it happen? Listen to this, beloved. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Just a day at a time. This clock, this watch that's ticking, it may tick 10 million times, but it never will tick but one tick at a time. Remember the promise of Jesus. He shall never leave thee nor forsake thee, but go with thee all the way. You know what? In the original Greek in which that verse was written, Hebrews 13:6, you know what it says? Here it is in English. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here it is in Greek. I will never, 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 never leave thee. It has five negatives. The English language doesn't afford that. Greek says five times. I will never, 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 never leave thee or forsake thee. But I'll go with thee all the way. He's with you this morning, my beloved. He's with you. Take him at his word. He shall never fail. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised never to leave us. Never, 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 never to leave us, nor forsake us, but go with us all the way. Heavenly Father, should there be those here without him this morning, may they come and embrace him and trust him and open the door of their heart and let Jesus come in. Should there be those this morning, Heavenly Father, who have a special and particular need, they're out there in the wilderness. They ought to be over in the land of Canaan rejoicing in thee. And they're still struggling in the wilderness. Bring them out of that wilderness this morning. Bring them into the light of the sunshine of thy love. For those who are making decisions about church membership, help them to come today. For if Jesus should come tomorrow, where would they be? Help them to be identified with a body of believers proclaiming the gospel around the world. Whatever the needs are, we ask that thou wouldst meet them. For thou hast promised never to leave, never to fail, never to forsake, but go with us to guide us, to meet our needs, to save us, to claim us, to sustain us, to give us grace and strength in every hour. May we claim it today, right now, in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving.